Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 436. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Let's go, Patriots! Let's go!
Jeff is here.
Super Bowl is canceled.
And Earl is booing.
Yes, and I'm booing the Patriots and I'm booing the referees, who apparently are in the pocket of every other team I didn't want to win.
I mean, the Saints got fucked, but...
But to be fair, it's also their own fault.
And there was game left that happened after that. It wasn't like they didn't have an opportunity to turn it around, you know.
Well, and they never still let it get to that point either.
Yes, but like it did that. Like, not only was it a fucking terrible missed call, but it changed the tide of the game. Like,
yep,
you know, it's pretty bad.
Well, the game's over if they make that, what do you call it, the game's over. Anyway, it didn't, so the Rams go, who I was not looking forward to see. And the Patriots overcame the Chiefs.
So it's going to be 12-year-old McVay versus Belichick. I wonder who's going to win that matchup.
I was cheering for the Chiefs in that game, but I don't care who wins now.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't even care about the commercials this year. I might just skip it. Maybe I'll watch Batman and Robin.
You'd have to wait a whole extra week. So, I mean, I don't know if you can hold out for another week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's next weekend.
Let's talk some games because there's a little bit of news, not much, but some stuff happened.
Look, they call pass interference in Madden.
I mean, that does happen occasionally. I guess the refs in Madden are better.
They are.
The Anthem demo happens this weekend for people with VIP access.
VIP!
And I guess that VIP access is if you pre-ordered the game or if you have Origin access or EA access. So.
Or if you have a friend who has the thing, because I think you can get three codes.
Yes. So Tony, you have it.
I have the game pre-ordered.
Okay.
So I am actually downloading the demo right now.
And I have EA access, so I should be able to get on too. So we'll have some codes. Maybe we'll get them out to Earl and.
Oh, I got a code. I just know how to beg people. My demo's downloaded, ready to go for tomorrow.
Nice. Jeff will get you a code too.
Okay. And
we'll get I hadn't realized until now that nobody had gone hand on with it until this week. For some reason, I thought people had played it before.
So what I heard seems positive.
Yeah.
Just not like super
positive. Not like they're not like blunt, but it certainly doesn't. They didn't come out negative on it.
Yeah, it essentially seems like, from what I gathered, is that it's fun to play, but its structure is very similar. Like, you go here, kill these things, move on.
Right, which, I mean, that seems very MMO-ish. That's kind of what Destiny is, too.
Right.
Go here, kill these things, pick up X amount of these things, and then go to point B.
Yeah, and probably Destiny gets old fast, too.
Yep, they can. So I hope there's some sort of story.
That right?
Aging, at least.
I mean, it's BioWare, right? There's got to be a story in there somewhere.
Well, I've heard right? That was also not too much, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hope there's something, because... I mean, I want that game to be good. But I am really... Like crossing my fingers on it. But we'll have actual thoughts on that next week. It seems like a lot of people they're at least excited to try the demo out. So there's some hype building around that game. Master Chief Collection, they have announced an announcement coming at South by Southwest.
Announced an announcement.
Yeah, they said there will be a big announcement for that game, which is 4 years old now.
But yeah. Isn't that in March, or am I?
I believe so.
It's like, what on earth could that possibly be?
Reach?
Ooh.
In the game, maybe?
Yeah. Sure.
I was trying to think, like, yeah, what would it be? And it's like, I got all, yeah, like, that would have to be it, right? Like
if you're, yeah, it's March 8th to the 17th, Earl. So like a month and a half away. And
that they're is a long time for an announcement of an announcement.
Right? Like, so, like, that's the only thing I can think of is that, like, they're adding the only other Xbox 360 game that they don't have in Master Chief Collection.
That's my favorite, dude.
But is that, I mean, even, like, is that really an announcement you make?
No.
I don't know. It's not a game I think about very often.
Right. I'd completely forgotten it existed. Like, I own it.
I mean, I'm happy that they've continuously updated it. I mean, part of it was because it was a broken mess when it launched, but they've updated it since then. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting, not games as service, but just the whole thing of updating what is essentially a collection of ports constantly for 4 years.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to be given like their own Halo game or something like that. Because I can't imagine like announcing an announcement 6 weeks in advance to be like, oh, we're bringing another port to this game you own.
The only other thing I can think of is that maybe it's an announcement that's finally coming to PC, which has been rumored for a while. But I think you would also want to include Reach with that.
I mean, maybe together it would be worth it. That's still an odd announcement.
Yep. Maybe they're adding 5 to it.
Sure. Maybe every Halo game that ever existed.
Like it just Adam becomes all. A platform. Just becomes the Halo platform.
Right. I mean, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Like you get Halo Wars and I don't know.
Those weird twin stick shooter ones.
Right.
So there's that, which I mean, I guess there's not much to say about it. Just I'm interested to know what the hell that thing is going to be, because who does an announcement of an announcement for a 4-year-old game a month and a half ahead of time?
Are we getting new Halo this year?
No.
I thought, wait, when is 6?
I feel like it's when they announced it was like way off.
Yeah, they announced Infinite last year, but it seems like Gears is going to be their fall game.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I forgot, and then Infinite will be their game for
the next console.
Fucking yeah. Back to the fucking well over and over.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, to be fair to them, they have taken 2 years off of that cycle.
Yeah. I don't want more Gears. I want more Halo.
Gears 4 was excellent.
It was fine. Whatever. It's not Halo.
It's not.
That's right, because it's called Gears.
Yeah. I will take more Gears and more Horde. We played a ton of Horde, so.
I think what they need is a third franchise in that rotation, though. I think they wanted that to be Crackdown, but.
Well, come on, Forza.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a different beast.
Microsoft needs a kick-ass RPG.
See, the problem with RPGs, and I guess we can talk about that, is RPGs are kind of niche. I guess they're like the big open-world Western games, and I don't think you're going to get that. It's hard to invest in that as an exclusive.
I mean,
it'd be awesome, though. That would be like the thing. That would sell. That could be a system seller. If you have something that's like Skyrim level, but it's just like Microsoft makes it, like, and it's only on their shit, like, that'd be cool.
Oh, I mean, they have Obsidian now, so we'll see what they do.
And they kind of tried that with Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah. It did not hit. Which, I mean, I really like Sunset Overdrive. I think, Jeff, you did too.
I didn't finish it, but I liked it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just too goofy for their audience at the time. I feel like that's a game that maybe if it came out nowadays in the post-Overwatch world would do better.
That's possible. Didn't even think of, like, at the time, like, it was way more gritty. But now they, you know, Fortnite and Overwatch are definitely more cartoonish in their approach to games, and they're super popular. So, I don't know. I'd like to see them bring back Fable.
Oh, I forgot that was a thing they had.
I mean, supposedly, I'm trying to think of the studio that does Horizon. But that studio, they have a second team, and they're not Turn 10. It's the Turn 10 is the Forza team. It's like the main Forza developer. Playground Games.
Okay.
They have a second team that is supposedly working on a new Fable product. So,
but yeah, it's got to round it out a little more. It's like,
yeah, like you need more than just your space shooters.
Yeah, it's just shooters and race, like, you know, really good. I mean, dude, I love Horizon, but like you need a little bit more than that, you know.
Yeah, I think Fable could be that, like, extra, and then whatever Obsidian's bringing, because evidently Rare is gone to shit. So
they may see a Thieves Game of the Year 2018. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
It's too soon, Earl. Don't fuck with me. I think why don't they fucking go Rare? Make Conquer 2. Like, such. I mean, again,
all the guys who made Conquer are gone.
So what?
But I feel like they have the
talent there. So like,
they don't. All not, those guys are gone. They literally can't do.
Not. I don't mean the same talent. I mean, Sea of Thieves looks talent. And feels like a fucking Rare game. Like, it feels right. It's just fucking a shell of a game. Just make a fucking 3D platformer, man. That's it. Just do that.
I mean, that's not easy to do, though. I mean, outside of Nintendo, who does it? Like, Ratchet?
Yeah. I mean, Activision did it with Toys for Bob with the remake of Spyro.
Fucking, hey, if Playtonic can do it,
Rare can do it. Did they, though?
They did it. It's officially out there. It's a thing that exists.
That's a bad game, though.
I'm not arguing that, but like, you'll still see it on shelves. The thing is, like, you put out a Conquer game, like, it doesn't have to do crazy, crazy sales. Like, it would be a mid-budget game. You know what I mean? Like,
so I'm curious. I know you're a fan of Conquer, but why Conquer over Banjo? Banjo has the.
I'll take Banjo. I'll take either one. But I just personally prefer Conquer.
Speaking of, they're also working on a Battletoads game, right?
There is.
That's true. That's coming out this year. But like, have we seen that yet?
No.
Oh, is that out this year?
Yeah, I think so. Right.
Like, I just heard it was announced. Like, I don't remember seeing anything about it, so I just assume vaporware until then.
I think it was just like a reveal trailer, and it was like Battletoads, you know, coming 2019 or something like that. Wrong.
I don't remember there being a date, but they did say.
Like, do you guys think it's just going to be like a throwback? Like it's just going to feel like an old Battletoads game, like a new one of those, or they're going to try to do like a 3D fucking platformer shit? Like, what do you think of the scope and the scale of this Battletoads game is going to be?
I think it'll be a good looking 2D.
Yeah, exactly. Game. That's what
like, and I don't think it'll be like a, you know, $10-$15.
Well, that's the rub. I have beat 'em ups. I think they're a fantastic genre that needs to come back, but I think they're a super hard sell at $60 in this day and age. Yeah. You need to go like the Double Dragon Neon or the, what are they doing now?
Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage 4, where it's like a $30 nostalgia trip. And I just don't see that as a first party property from Microsoft.
I would just love, though, if Battletoads was slightly more ambitious, like a $40 to $60 game. Like, I don't know, but I don't even know what that looks like, but
I think that's why I said, like, I think it's like a 2D game, because I don't even know what a, like, more ambitious 3D Battletoads game is.
I mean, if it's 2D, I hope they, like, really try, and it's, like, good, like, and if it looks, like, amazing, I would pay $40, and it looked really good, I guess, you know what I mean? But, like,
who pays $40 for an amazing-looking 2D platformer that's not a Mario game?
I mean, I own Rayman.
Yeah,
Legends and Origins.
Yeah.
Kirby.
They're both good. Both those Rayman
games. Yoshi. Yeah.
They're good. I just wouldn't pay that much money for them.
That's my jam.
That's always going to be the issue with certain 2D games, is I think there's always the expectations that they just aren't worth the money. And I think that's something that you're going to have to overcome beat 'em ups, because those are very much arcade games. Most of them in the old days, you could beat in like an hour. What I was going to say is like they can, like when I think of modern day beat 'em ups, I think of stuff like Dynasty Warriors. And I think if they could find a way to model it after that with a bit more depth, it could work.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Like, I think either way. I just hope that I just hope that this is somewhat ambitious. Like, even if it's 2D, like I hope it's like they're like really like trying to make something special here. I hope. Not that like I don't really care about Battletoads either, though, because like the old games kind of suck. So I'm just like, I don't know. It's a cool aesthetic, though. It's like that 90s Battletoads. I mean, I'm sorry if anyone here really loves Battletoads, but those games are like
I don't.
Fucking those ridiculous. Games,
they're ridiculously hard. They're
too yeah.
Hard.
That's their legacy. And they failed animated series.
Like, do you think. I don't think they'll be. I don't think this new one will be that fucking hard. At least I hope not. Because then I don't know if I could justify dropping $40 on this thing.
Maybe it's a Dark Souls clone.
Jeff, you'd be down on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we will see what they have coming. Because they can't just keep relying on Gears, Halo, and Forza. So they do have all these studios now. So
right, 90 kabillion studios. They got to have something, right?
Something's coming. Do you guys know what Evil Land is?
The like, it's like a slashing 2D game, right?
It's
like a bunch of different colors.
What's so something
about colors.
Well, it's it is an RPG that starts out in like the 8-bit era, and as the game progresses, it advances, like it evolves. As you play.
Oh, that's right.
So like the first one starts like as like a Zelda clone. And it ends up like towards the end, it ends up kind of like a PlayStation Final Fantasy game, like the original PlayStation. And the second one kind of does a little bit more with that. Both those games are coming to consoles as part of a big bundle, which I'm kind of excited about because I like that first one. And being able to play them, like they're coming to Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. So I think being able to play that on like the Switch would be pretty cool. If you're looking for like a short RPG that doesn't overstay its welcome, sometime this year, I think. There was also the Switch showcase, the Nindies showcase.
Nindies.
Yeah. There were a few games they announced and dropped right away on the eShop. When Ski Lifts Go Wrong. It's a physics-based puzzle game that has you building ski lifts. Goat Simulator is also out on the Switch. Unruly Heroes, which is an action platformer. Guess that's out as well. And they announced a new SteamWorld game called SteamWorld Quest Hand of Gilgamesh. And that's a card-based game. Jeff, you like SteamWorld Dig.
That was pretty cool.
I don't know how I'm gonna like this one. Like,
I am intrigued just because you don't have many card-based RPGs. And I do like SteamWorld 1 and 2, well, Dig. I didn't care much for Heist.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard not great things about Heist. But I like Dig. I haven't played 2 yet. So, Tony, you've been playing Thronebreaker. That's kind of a
right.
RPG, right? Like,
sure. More like a card-based adventure game.
Mm.
I don't know. Mostly it's like a puzzle solver, right? They put you in odd situations
yeah.
with cards and you have to like play it over and over and over again to figure it out.
Yeah, like what's the exact combination of cards you need to play to get past this thing?
I don't imagine I'm going to be playing it very much longer.
I think it's a cool idea. It did not hook me.
No.
And then the MPD.
You missed the announcement. Not the announcement. Wargroove is out next week.
What's that one?
It is the Advanced Wars, quote-unquote, not Advanced Wars game. So it's a turn-based strategic RPG with different units and stuff like that. I've been looking forward to this. I prefer Advanced Wars Site to Fire Emblem just because it's more unit-based than it is individual-based. Mm-hmm. And it has a nice, cartoony style to it. So that is out on Switch, Xbox One, and PC next Friday. I think PS4 is later on.
Okay. This strikes me as a Tony game.
Perhaps.
I'm looking at it right now. It is very cartoony, as Earl just said, but looks like very tactical. Medieval-ish. Is that what Advanced Wars is? Is that...
Well, Advanced War is more current day. So it's like, it's units, it's air, tanks, stuff like that. But you move the units as a whole instead of individual characters like you would in Fire Emblem.
Right. All right. Well, that does seem pretty cool. That's very shortly, too. So.
Well, now, after they announced it 2 years ago.
I mean, like in terms of when it's coming out relative to us today, it's not too far off. MPDs for 2018 were released. Top 20 best selling games of 2018. Where do you want me to start here?
Well, Red Dead Redemption 2 was the best selling game of the year. I'm sure surprising no one. I guess it was kind of surprising that it did outmatch Call of Duty.
Yeah, did Call of Duty come out before it?
I think so, because Call of Duty was October this year, wasn't it?
But they're 1 and 2, Red Dead and Call of Duty, and then Tony's sports games.
NBA. Yeah, sports games.
Smashing at 5.
Which is rather impressive. I mean, one, I think it's the first exclusive on the list, but also the fact that it only came out in December.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of those things, so.
Yeah, to jump that high off the list.
Game of the year.
No. Marvel Spider-Man was number 6. Jeff's favorite game, Far Cry 5, was number 7.
Wow.
God of War was 8. Monster Hunter World was 9. That's a pretty good showing for Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, I was surprised it didn't get bumped off the list by the end of the year, honestly. But good on them.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed Odyssey was at 10. GTA 5.
that game will not die.
Yep.
When did it originally come out?
Like 2013 or something. 2013,
yeah. Yeah, the year that the new consoles came out.
Almost six years ago.
It's still on. You would think everybody owns it by now, right?
That's the thing I don't get is at this point, I have to assume everybody who owns a PS4 or an Xbox One owns it in some capacity.
It's just the next generation buying it every year. Like the new kids coming up.
Like I could see people selling it back to GameStop and then picking it up like 6 months later on. But yeah, that's just an insane run. I think that might be the longest run of any game, especially being that it's not bundled with a system.
Yeah, it's insane. Mario Kart 8 at 12. That's impressive. Except that game's old too. I mean, I assume this is the Switch version, but
it's still.
I think they would combine it, but I can't imagine too many people are buying it on the
Wii U. Right. Like,
probably not.
I mean, they don't say Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but I think most of those were the deluxe version.
And I also think, and I don't know if they ever clarified it, I think the person who gave out these numbers said that it's now the second best-selling racing game of all time
Huh.
behind Mario Kart DS.
Really? I would have thought Mario Kart Wii was. I would have thought the Wii one was better
I
than
feel
that.
like it, I feel like that's why I want clarification, because the Mario Kart Wii is really up there as one of the best-selling games of all
Dude,
time.
like when I worked at GameStop, like I'm talking 3, 4 years after it came out, all time people were buying Mario Kart Wii. I'm like, what the fuck? How do you not own this yet?
Yeah,
How
it's
does
like
not everyone on the planet have this game?
fucking Grand Theft Auto Five.
Yeah. It was like the game. Like after a while, after the Wii was out for a while, it was like the game you bought besides the Wii Sports or whatever that came with it, you know?
Yes,
and that remains the case because it
Yeah.
is the best holdover of the Switch launch. I mean, I think Zelda makes to this, but Mario
Yeah.
Kart is still up there.
Just these numbers aren't completely accurate coming from VG charts, but they have Mario Kart Wii at 37 million copies, and Mario Kart DS at 23 million copies. So
Okay, so yeah, it's def then it's def well, I mean, I guess it depends, because it can also be to how it skews. Though
right.
I assume most of them come from the States. But yeah, I feel like it might be console, so no, that wouldn't make sense. Anyhow.
I wonder if it's like if VG Charts is including it bundled with a console, where MPD didn't, like they stopped including console bundles at one point. So I don't know. FIFA 19 at number 13, Battlefield 5 at 14. So that seems like a pretty big drop off, comparatively to Black Ops, like when that was. Battlefield and Call of Duty were at one point battling it out, pretty close, and not close this time around.
Yeah, it's also disheartening when you realize like it was like half price a week after the launch, and it's still like even with the value sale.
It's really good too. Like Tony and I played some this past week.
This is true.
Super Mario Odyssey at 15. Call of Duty World War II at 16. So two Call of Duty games on the list. Dragon Ball FighterZ Z or Fighter Z at 17. Zelda Breath of the Wild at 18, Super Mario Party at 19, and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu at 20. So Nintendo dominating the lower half of that list with just their one platform. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, I also believe that and because of December, the Switch ended up being the best-selling console of 2018. And what is it? I think somebody said launch aligned the first 22 months, the Switch would be ahead of the PS4 by 24% and the Xbox by like 28%.
That's a weird stat though, because like the Xbox and PS4 have been in the marketplace for so long now.
No. If you took it from when they launched in November 2013
Yeah,
through the first.
but I'm saying people buying new consoles right now are only buying Switches.
Yeah,
Like,
no, I mean it's
it's not it's it's if you were like if you had launched the Switch at the same time, that number would be a lot lower.
I mean, it could go either way. I think what ultimately the big hurdle is that you can't do it because of holiday. Like the Switch's 22nd month is the end of the holiday season, where like for Microsoft and Sony that would have been like March, mid-year or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just the people always throw out those random numbers. It's just one of those fun stats. It has, I think, it's at 10.5 million in the States. I think somebody has said that the Xbox One is 41.5 million worldwide right now. I think the PS4 is something at what, 92, I want to say Sony said.
That seems accurate. VG charts is showing it at 91.6 million. So 92 sounds correct.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a overall, it's going to be a healthy gen. I don't even know if you call them generations anymore. Nintendo's on its own track. I feel like Sony and Microsoft won't hit too soon. I mean, I feel like the Pro and the S and the X were kind of their mid-gen refreshes.
Yeah. And I think we're coming up on new systems from Sony and Microsoft probably next year. So we will see. I will say that the analyst here did say that console hardware sales were for PlayStation, Switch, and Xbox One were all year-on-year gains. So
ooh,
they're all selling more than they sold in 2017. So,
I just want to be a bit petty right now and note that the NES Classic outsold the PlayStation Mini in its launch month, and it's just sad how Sony handled that whole device.
Yep. And it's now at almost half off. Still not worth it for me. But
I think yeah. if it hits $40, I might get it.
That might number. Be the magic number.
I think it's what, 50 now?
50, yeah, $54.99.
54 is what I saw it at, like the cheapest.
So weird. Anyway, so those are our MPDs. What have you guys been playing this week?
Old games.
Yeah, me too. Resident Evil specifically.
Same.
But you were playing the remake.
I was playing the re-release of the remake, which is my preferred version of it. Yeah, the Xbox.
Mm-hmm. I was playing the original PlayStation version. Well, I tried playing both, but I was confusing myself.
You're trying to go through both at the same time.
Yeah,
try to feel how different they are or whatever.
Well, they're different. The house layouts are different. The puzzles, the setups are different for how you get certain items. So I had to stop playing the remake.
Just making you insane.
I don't know where things are. Did you enjoy revisiting it, Jeff?
That's easily my top 10 games of all time. I love that. Specifically remake, because I don't think I've ever played through the original, the original.
Mm-hmm.
I've played it, I've put hands on it and I've put some time into it, but the remake, that game holds up so fucking well, dude. Still looks great.
Yeah, it does.
It's just, I love that type of game. That's what I want Resident Evil to be. And I'm happy that right on the verge of another one of those, kind of different, this is still the fixed cameras and all that. And I love that. It makes it look like a fucking movie or something,
Yeah. And I think, our buddy Aaron said this, playing those games, there's something special about the fixed camera on that game, and I think all those Resident Evil early Resident Evil, Dino Crisis and that stuff is that fixed camera. It allows them to be so much more cinematic, and it makes it tense in situations because you can hear things but they're just out of the range of the camera.
And combined with the minimalist soundtrack, which is I don't know. I love all the music, in Resident Evil. It's so good, dude. The save room music, even all of it. It just builds this atmosphere. Yeah. You just get sucked into it. I don't know. I just love it. So I don't know what else to say about it. But
were you playing as Chris or Jill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played as Chris. And the one other thing I wanted to say about it is I did not realize because. I swear, every time I've played through this game, it ends with, the mansion blowing up, the self-destruct sequence. You go up on top and fight the tyrant for a second time. You blow his ass up, and you get out of there with, a helicopter or whatever.
Right.
And so, like, I was like, wait, I'm going up to the roof now. Why is the self-destruct sequence not going on? Where's the... Oh, wait. That's the end of the game? Like, I just literally just got in the helicopter and it was over. I was like, I never had that ending before.
So you must have done something else different that time.
And... I think it's technically, like, probably a bad ending. I remember I was looking at it. It was like, if you don't... Like, if it's like Rebecca dies, you get that ending or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen that one, but it was like... That was weird. I didn't, like, fight... You just kill the tyrant the one time, like, when he breaks out of his fucking thing in the room.
Right.
And then that's it. Like, you never see him again. Like, yeah, it didn't blow it up or anything. It was just like, bye.
So you let the zombie infestation continue.
Yeah, I guess.
Way to go, Jeff. Way to go. You've doomed Raccoon City. Guess you'll have to continue on as a Leon.
Yeah. City. I'm so excited. Oh, my God.
Earl, do you play Resident Evil?
I've played... I'm more of the... I dislike the tank controls. Okay. So I'm more of a fan of 4, 5, and 6. I can't say I'm a fan of 6 because people always get mad at me. And when I tell people 5 is my favorite, they really hate me for that. But I did like the fact that I know the tank controls add to it, but I do like that it had the fixed cameras. I do think that for all the notions of video games being more cinematic these days, they don't really know what to do with cameras. And I think those types of games where you can kind of set up the backdrop and set up if you're walking towards a camera, walking away from it, or, you know, coming around a corner, that stuff is something that we take for granted in the gaming industry. And it's odd that Resident Evil did it like 25 years ago. And so few games actually copy that notion. I understand that you kind of want to give people that freedom, but there's something to be said about setting up a camera for the perfect shot. And it works wonders in a horror game. So I've enjoyed that. I just wish I can get past the controls in the originals to actually play through them.
Well, like in the remake, at least when they re-released it on like Xbox and stuff, like that's why I prefer it on Xbox or whatever, the newer version of it. Like, they remove the tank controls. Like, you can play with them, but I think the default is it just, like, you just push them whichever way you want them to go, you know? Which I got in an argument with Aaron about, where he's like, that's not correct. It sucks. I'm like, whatever, dude. Like, go play with tank controls then. Because I fucking have always hated the tank controls.
It does make the game easier.
It does. That's what I said. But that's proof that it's better controls because it
makes it easier. Well, I don't necessarily think it's better controls, because if the whole aspect of the game is kind of putting you in a situation where you are vulnerable and you can't react as fast as you would, I mean, that is part of horror, is kind of putting you at a handicap against everything around you. Mm-hmm. It's why you have limited ammo. It's why you can only save in certain rooms. And I think the controls add to that. That said, my preference is more direct controls.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that the tank controls are bad, just not for me.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with all of that pretty much. Like, I just don't like them. I agree. It makes it, I could run around the enemies way easier with the fixed controls, but I wouldn't, like, I'm not going to sacrifice being able to, like, control my character well for that scare. You know what I mean? Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
That's where I fall on it.
So, I am not done yet. Where am I at? I'm in the house with the crazy killer.
Yeah, the residence, maybe.
It's like the guardhouse, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, it's like outside. You go over.
Yeah, I think it's called it on the map. Is like the residence.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's like a little side house.
Yeah, so like that's I'm exploring there now. That game's still great. And maybe I'll play the remake at some point again. Because I don't think I've ever actually finished the remake.
Oh my god!
So I've beaten the original Resident Evil multiple times, but
the remake's so good, man. I've probably played through remake, honestly, dude, probably double digits at this point, like at least 10 times.
So now that they've done 1 and 2. Would you prefer they did a remake of 3, Code Veronica, 0?
Well, Zero is like in that style of the remake, like.
Yeah, but that's also almost 20 years old at this point.
True, true. I think I would prefer they do three next if they were to do one. Just get me all three of that original trilogy, up, like better graphics, better looking, up to date, and then revisit Code Veronica and Zero. And I prefer those five over the latter half of the series, but Revelations is really good though. I like both Revelations games. But that's what I would want, Jeff. Where would you want?
I would want them to do like a new one, but in the style of remake with the fixed cameras and all that. Like I'm super super stoked for this Resident Evil 2. It looks amazing, but I also would love to see like how amazing you can make the graphics with those fixed camera angles like nowadays. Like a brand new game built from the ground up. That's like, let's be like Resident Evil remake. Like, oh my god, it'd be amazing.
I will say this much. I know people crap on Kingdom Hearts for it, but the Resident Evil franchise story is kind of all over the place at this point. Because you said it. I'm like, where the hell you put that into the universe at this point?
What, a new one?
I don't fucking make up a new story. Honestly, I don't give a shit.
I mean, that's kind of like what, right? Like, I mean,
they did it with seven.
Yeah.
Like, they did it with seven. They kind of did it with four. Like, so they moved out of Raccoon City for four, and
yeah, but they brought it back for five and six, kind of.
Like, I don't get into the story as much as most people. Like, to me, it's just all about being like in this environment and, you know, figuring the environment out and finding the keys and shit. Like, but that's all I really give a fuck about.
Yeah, you are 100% correct, Earl. Like, the Resident Evil storyline is completely wacky and fucked.
Well, like, then do whatever you want. Like, do anything crazy.
It's like one of the reasons I like, kind of like you, like Jeb, I do like the story in them, but I view them like kind of independently. Like, the first one is like this weird B movie haunted house thing. Like, in each one, I kind of view as separate. Like, I don't. Guess one, two, and three tie in together, but then once you get out of that, it gets like goofy Kingdom Hearts nonsense shit.
I have never played through three all the way.
It's so good.
I finally played it.
I love it.
I played it on PlayStation 3, like I downloaded it or whatever, and it's like, what I do remember is like you're being chased by an enemy.
Yep.
Like through most of the game, right?
The Nemesis.
Yeah.
It's in the title.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And like, that was terrifying. I think there's something like that in the remake here.
Yeah, it's that big. I saw one of the reviews. I was also going to mention he's also in one of the movies. So, yeah.
It looks pretty terrifying.
I'm excited for the 2 remake. So. We'll have commentary on that next week.
Oh, yeah.
Earl, you been playing anything?
Nothing too fanciful. I guess it's just a quick end. You folks know, I never mentioned this on the show, but I work at the Brooklyn Public Library, and we had like a gaming session this week, just kind of teaching some of the librarians how current video game systems work and stuff like that. So we played some Smash Brothers. One, they have all the basic Switch setup. I do not know how people play with the Joy-Cons on their sides. Like, that is not for human hands.
No, it does not work.
Oh, when you flip them down and try and hold it like a super small Nintendo controller?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
It's. I mean, I don't mind it. Like, it's also one of those things where it works well with one side better than the other. Like, if you get the left side, the buttons are way too close together for that to make any sense. But yes, Smash Brothers is not an easy game to learn for a lot of people. And it's funny because you know, like, kids kind of adapt to it really quickly, but trying to see adults play it and understand the visual language of Smash Brothers. And what's going on, who they are, how any of these moves work is very fascinating to watch unfold. I don't think many of them got it by the end. but I won, so I'll take that moral victory.
Hey,
you won, so it's all okay.
I will take wins in a fighting game any way I can get them.
And then I watched them play some Mario Kart, which was fascinating just because they all had on the auto stare, and I don't think any of them realized they did, so I was just watching them. Like, there was one person who wasn't even pressing the accelerate button. I'm just like, this is driving me crazy personally, but these are my coworkers. But again, it's you know, like, I think all of us take for granted how we kind of grew up with video games, and it's kind of second nature to us, but there's still so many people, even of our generation, who this is all kind of foreign to. And it's, you know, like, even something as simple as Mario Kart is still somebody's first game that they're going to have to learn. And, you know, like, I know a lot of people hate that auto steer stuff, myself included, because it's on automatic and you have to remember to turn it off. But it's like, oh, okay, at least it makes it approachable where people can kind of get the basics and then take off the training wheels and go into the game proper. Or worst comes to worst, you can still have fun with each other.
Yeah.
Yes. The other thing was, you know, we had Guitar Hero set up, and then two VR helmets, which...
How'd that go?
I was fast. I don't actually know which branches we have it at. I think it's somebody's personal, like Oculus Rift and PlayStation VR. Okay. But yeah, I didn't get to play it because I had to run to a meeting before I got to. But yeah, it was fascinating because, like, we literally had to set up like a box zone around the Oculus demo so that one person wouldn't end up punching anybody else. And at times they would still run into people around them. It's just like, I did not realize how much room you actually need for VR to make it a tangible thing where you're not like punching your TV.
And that's crazy, being as, like, you know, people criticize the Kinect for needing as much room as it did, and like, this doesn't sound that much different. Like, you need some space.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where, like, I assume that most people, it's not a concern. For me, New York City apartments don't have that, so it's always been like, I want to try VR, but it's not something I can really have without like redoing my entire living situation just to play it with this device.
My Kinect stopped working because I moved into too small an apartment. Like, I literally couldn't use it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of the problem with these things that require cameras to capture your motion or space needed for you to walk around with your helmet on or whatever.
Though I would also say, it's something I earned here, and actually a little earlier on in my tenure, is that Kinect was actually really big with the library. I think it did well with a lot of the older demographic. I think just because take anything of them other than moving their actual physical body. So we actually still have a few Kinects, but once those kind of die out, and it'd be the end of some of our programs. And so I guess for my sake, I actually didn't earn much. We actually just ended up playing video games for an hour. but you know, like, I did learn that, like, you know, they do refresh consoles pretty, not, you know, like, they're not getting a Switch day one or getting systems every 2 or 3 years. You know, they take donations for games, but nobody really donates games. They just can trade it into GameStop for credit. And there's really no rules other than it can't be M-rated, which I was surprised by. Like, they have Spider-Man, and I'm like, that's a single-player game. But they're like, yeah, we don't really have any. Like, if people want that game, we'll get it for them. But... you know, I was thinking, like, you'd focus on cooperative or competitive games where you can have multiple people playing at the same time, but that's not necessarily always their priority. It's like whatever our teens are into.
So, and these are for the programs that the library runs, or?
Yes. And it varies. It's for the programs that the library runs, but it's also, like, this training in particular, this session was more for the librarians who would run these programs,
if
they were interested, or like, if they had any questions or can, you know, because there's other people I tried to stay out of it because I don't want to add anything to my job right now. But you know, if you had any questions, there were people there to answer it. You know, like set up the types of games available, you know, like where the money came from, or like, because you know, you can buy it out of your budget, but that might be like a console would be like half of your budget for programs.
Oh wow.
I mean, because you get in the console, you get in controllers.
Right.
I think they're asking for, like, some of the branches are asking for 3 months of PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live so you can play against different branches.
That makes sense. So,
yeah, and then, you know, the games.
Do they, like, take a, like, is there, like, donations or something? Like, outside of games, like, do they take donations towards these programs or?
Well, yeah, you can, I mean, you can always give, that's what I do. I do fundraising. So you can always give to your local library. They will never turn down money, I imagine.
That would be weird.
Yes. But yeah, I will be honest with you. Before I got this job, I just assumed the library was funded by the city, which it is kind of, but like a lot of these programs and stuff are funded by donations from individuals, you know, corporations, foundations. Yes, and you know, that's my job is kind of, well, not my job. I don't ask the big donors, but like tonight, one of the reasons I was late is we had a donor event. We had two authors come in, read books, and then we get some people to sign up and give money to us.
That's actually pretty cool. You said like they don't do M-rated games for like these events. Do you guys do loans on M-rated games? Like, do you guys?
We don't own video games right now.
Okay. Because I know that my local library does do games.
Yeah, and we used to. Well, I know that you used to be able to borrow games from the library. I don't know if that was specifically that branch or anything, but yeah, I actually had this conversation with another friend this week. Oddly enough, he was asking why don't, and I'm like, libraries do, but it seems to vary. Like I happen, like he lives in California. I check San Diego does it. Oh yeah, he doesn't. New York doesn't, but it does deals with the cost, you know, the return of investment, because you're spending $60. How many times do you have to rent it out before you break even?
Right. Yeah, that's, I know one of my friends, he rents, I guess it's not renting, like, cause you're, I guess borrowing is the correct term. He borrows like a lot of games from our local library. They seem like, I mean, they're not like, brand new, but like they're, you know, within like the last 6 months or so generally. So it's kind of cool.
I am curious, and I know this is completely off topic, but I am actually.
We don't have topics here, Earl.
If I brought it in video games as donations, would people actually donate them as a way of, you know, getting rid of their things, or would they still use the GameStop system?
I wonder, because, like, Jeff, you recently. Got scammed a little bit, right? Like, you went and traded a bunch of games in and got like a pretty low number. Like, yeah. would that, like, I mean, obviously you're not getting any return on it other than like,
I don't know. Yeah, input, honestly, but... like, the difference between the $50 I got and $0, I almost feel worth it to give it to a library. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, have somebody else like get some enjoyment out of it that might not.
And not some fucking games. Corporation just fucking making a huge profit off of it. Yeah,
I've donated games before. Sometimes it's just like you're like, I'm gonna take these 10 games into GameStop and get $5, or I can give them to somebody.
Yeah, right. Like,
so
yeah, probably.
Also, if you go into your local children's hospital and look at the games they have there, you're like, oh God.
That's enough.
Some of the stuff I give away, though, was
look at them. Good. They're playing Madden 14. It's 2018 now. What's happening here?
That's another good avenue as Children's Hospital and donating games to that.
Yeah. You probably do have to be a little more like, I bet like children's hospitals don't take, like, you probably can't give like Gears of War, right?
No, but they would take like anything rated T, because they do have like, you know, teenagers and whatever.
Right. So like Spider-Man and
right.
And shit like that. Like, so yeah. No, that's a, it's a good thing. Like, it's something that never really crosses my mind at the time I'm going to trade in. And then I always leave GameStop like frustrated that I got like $2 for a game.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing with GameStop isn't necessarily that you get a $2. It's then that they turn around and sell it for like $30.
Yep.
Right. So if I'm going to get swindled out of money, at least if I donated it, I know that somebody's getting some use out of it and it's not being sold for a profit.
Right. And like, in like, you know, in terms of donating it to a library or a children's hospital, like, somebody that potentially like wouldn't have been able to experience these games at all.
Right.
Like getting them or being in like a, you know, kids that are sick, like, they don't really want to think about the fact that they're sick and maybe playing Madden 14.
Right.
Like, this is sad. Like, rosters are 4 years old. So, definitely something I am going to lodge in the back of my head, maybe think about a little more. That was very insightful, Earl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It just came out of nowhere, but
I was fascinated by it because I know we have video game programs. I just, you know, it's not always easy when you don't work in a department to figure out how it goes, and I'm not going to hang around a bunch of teenagers to play video games.
Right. You don't want to be the creeper.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. That checks out. Tony, you've been playing Sniper Elite 4?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember why I decided to do this to myself, but I've kind of always looked at the sniper games because they have those wild ass videos of people, you know, shattering skulls and like
the X-ray shots,
exploding hearts and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's available. Sniper Elite 4 is available on Game Pass.
Okay.
So I gave it a shot. In the first mission of the game, they drop you onto this island and they're like, okay, kill these four Nazi officers and their commander. And you basically just roam around in one really long stealth mission, and, you know, try to kill these dudes. The AI is like wandering around the island. That's the only thing that's there, by the way. There's no civilians. There's no like nothing else. It's just a bunch of AI dudes walking around. So it feels kind of dead, which is it's really jarring to play a game like this after playing Hitman.
Right, that's almost like the way you describe the mission. I'm like, oh, it's like World War II Hitman. Like,
right. It sounds kind of cool. Or like World War II Assassin's Creed, right?
Yeah.
But then the only guys on the entire island are like Nazis. And it's like, okay, I just want to kill you. That's it. That's my relationship with the people in the game world is just murder.
Just murder everybody.
And then the AI is dumb as rocks. To the point where like, I got spotted by these guys and started running away, and I was running across a bridge. I stopped in the middle of a bridge, put down a mine in the middle of the bridge with these three guys chasing after me, and then continued to run, and two of them just ran right over top of it and died. And then I just pulled out my sniper rifle and shot the third one in the head. And then the game's like, oh, alert cleared. No one can see you. Great. Thanks.
So well put together.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of cool to like snipe people from afar, and there are a lot of different ways of sniping them. Like, a lot of them are standing next to exploding barrels or like under things you can shoot that will fall on them, and like there's always like a really gory cutscene afterwards. But that's kind of the extent of the enjoyment, is enjoying the blood and the gore, because the stealth is ridiculous. There was a point at which I was like laying in a bush while the enemy was searching for me. The guy's literally standing in the bush that I am hiding in and can't find me. So, yeah, And if you're ever like caught in a situation, all you have to do is run away. Like if you're standing still, the enemy can shoot you. If you're running away, they can't. They can't hit you. Like the bullets all fly around you. And as soon as you turn the corner, it's like they have no idea what happened to you. It's like they're searching for you anew.
It's just... like some early PlayStation stealth scripting.
Yeah. So
we don't know where you went.
So I went and played through this one mission, and I was like, okay, that's great. And then I deleted Sniper Elite 4 off of my console. So. Well,
there's that. Was that mission more absurd than when we played Battlefield 5 on Sunday and almost won a match by ourselves as the only two people on the team?
Hey, we drew, though. The match was a draw.
We did come to a draw.
In fact, that's worse.
Well, the funny thing was the other team was just so bad. Like, I ended up having 9 kills in the mission, and I never died.
Yeah.
I played Battlefield for one whole 30-minute round and never died.
Tony went 9-0. I was 4-1, and I think my actual death came. Tony, like, Battlefield has connection issues, and Tony has the worst of them. Like,
yes,
so he got kicked out of the game, and so I was in there by myself, and I died going to a point. But then we did not die again, and they had a tank.
Yes.
So how did I don't know.
So we were both medics. We could do nothing to this tank, and there's somebody in the tank just driving around. So whenever we saw the tank, we just turned and ran to a different point. And of course it's what is it, squad conquest?
Yeah.
So there's only 3 points. And we're like triangulating, running from point to point to point. And of course there's the tank, which we avoid, and then every time we see a guy on the other team, like they're terrible and they just instantly die.
Like they're just standing staring the other way.
Yeah.
Even though like it's very clear, like, how, I don't know, looking at it myself, be like, okay, like, they're hitting the point that we're not at currently. Like, we're taking over the last point they got, so they're going to hit this other point that we already grabbed, so why don't we stay here? But instead, they're, like, looking the other way at, like, right, other point that they're taking now, instead of, like, looking behind them. We're just sneaking up and killing them.
A couple of times they sit there and they camp and they're like hiding in an open window, like staring off into the distance. And okay, I just shot you through the open window. What the hell are you doing?
And they kept building up like fortifications and like supply crates and stuff that we were able to raid and keep getting our ammo.
Yep. So we never ran out of ammo. We just refilled on the ammo that they built for us. It's
nice. At one point we had all 3 points. Like, which makes zero sense. It should never have fallen.
I'm really just curious how bad this other team was. Even if they didn't kill you, that's fine. But like with the number game alone, they should have been able to keep most of the points.
Yeah. Right.
Like you would think, like, one, keep 3 dudes at one point and send the tank to the other point. Like that's all they had to do. Because there was very little we could do with like what we were equipped with. So,
to be fair, I think we could have killed the 3 of them.
Possibly, if they
were defending the point.
Like Tony and I, we're not even like really sneaking around either. But like we're like come rolling up on the point. And we see like the dude like either sitting in the window or he's jumping out of the window, getting ready to run to the next point. And it's like you're dead. You didn't get shots off at us. And the tank was just randomly firing into the air, so it was amusing. Totally absurd, and we got it within like 20 points, but because nobody hit 0, it ended in a draw. So they did not beat us, and we ended up actually outscoring them like individual points-wise.
It's so weird.
Totally nuts. But at most of our matches, there were actual other full teams on both sides. It's like so weird that this one particular match we ended up getting split out like that. But Yeah, that's Battlefield. It's a weird game sometimes. But anybody else play anything want to talk about? Or are we going to go on and Jeff and I will probably be downloading Resident Evil. Jeff's probably already playing it.
I'm remaining very silent just to end the episode quicker so I can play Resident Evil.
How dare you? I think we have a lot to discuss, so let's do that.
Well, speaking of Resident Evil, we did skip over the fact that they are working on a TV show for Netflix.
Really? I did not hear that.
I said that, yes. It was just, it's still the same Constantine films who are the company behind the movies.
Okay.
So that has kind of diminished my interest in it. But, yeah. I mean, I think, again, depending on where they put it in the Resident Evil timeline, I think it has possibility to be an interesting TV show.
Sure. Like, those movies are bad. Like, I think the first one's actually okay. But the rest of them are really bad. But
have you and Jeff done that for Movie Dudes?
No.
That is something you should totally do for Movie Dudes.
I think like, it's something Jeff would just, like, he said he'd be all right with whatever.
he did.
He would not be okay
with
Resident Evil.
There are six movies and I think three animated ones, so you'd be set for a while.
Yeah,
that would be a great October theme.
And five of the live action movies are absolute dog shit.
I believe the odd ones are. The first one's good. The second one's terrible. The third one's okay. I don't remember the fourth, fifth, and the sixth one's awful.
Yep.
The movies are made backwards so many times because I think the sixth one starts off with fighting a dragon.
Yep.
And it's like, how do you top that? And you don't.
Yeah, you can't. It makes zero sense. I don't know. I have a weird spot in my heart for them. I acknowledge that they are bad, terrible movies, but I enjoy watching them. I've only seen one of the animated films, though.
I hate the animated films. I've seen Degeneration and the second one. And the thing with the animated films are they're actually in continuity with the games. Like, I think Degeneration is the one that takes place after 2, and then there's one that takes place after 4. I'm not gonna say they're in continuity with the films. I don't know if the games actually count them, but they do. Like, they take place
Address like the events of the games. Like, whereas Resident Evil, the movies, the live action movies, are completely their own thing. Like,
yes.
Like, although Resident Evil, the second Resident Evil movie, which I can't think of the subtitle for, is like a weird hybrid of like 2 and 3.
Yeah, it's the more they try to bring in elements to the games, the worse the movies got. Because I remember when they had, because 2 introduces Nemesis, and then I think it's 3 or 4 that introduces the axe wielding dude from Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think at some point they introduce Los Vegas, and it's like none of this makes sense at all, and we're just gonna retcon it in the next movie. Because then they're like, oh, we still got to do Wesker. And I think at some point, Jill had the, you know, mind control Nexus thingy.
Yep.
God. Now I really want to watch these movies.
All right, Jeff. We'll set that up for later this year.
Okay.
Teach you to talk bad about Batman and Robin.
We'll watch actual garbage. Yeah, so Resident Evil definitely coming our way next week. Anthem as well.
It's a big week.
And Kingdom Hearts is out.
Kingdom Hearts is out. I probably will not get a chance to play it until the end of next week, so after we record. But are any of – is it just me? Am I the only one Kingdom Hearts here?
I might get one that's like on sale later. I'm not buying it right away.
Earl, you haven't really experienced Kingdom Hearts, right?
No, I'm debating it because I'm thinking of making that my mirror project. Because I can get the story so far for like $32.
Right. And that's all the games. Like,
yes.
And cinematics.
Yes. And then I figure by the time, if I'm interested in it, I can get three for like $20 come November.
Yeah. All right, so we may have Earl's thoughts on Kingdom Hearts 3 come November.
but definitely Anthem.
Yeah. Anthem, and Jeff and I will have Resident Evil 2. So, yeah, we'll definitely have new stuff to talk about. Games are coming over the next little bit. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.